very interesting that since the early days of the church and since the just the Christ followers gathered together to proclaim the gospel, it's amazing how the enemy has been readily standing by to present a counterfeit or present something that is false, that is not true. And so as long as the church has been around, as long as Jesus' message has been present, there have been forces that the enemy has been bringing together to preach a false teaching, philosophy, whatever you want to call it. And today you may see it on TV. You may see it through someone standing on a stage sweating like crazy saying, "Send in your money now," and you don't even know what it's for. I mean, I remember watching the religious channel for about an hour straight, and it was this one program, and I looked at Doreen and I said, in the 1 hour that I have been wasting my life watching this, this man asked for me to send in money for I have no idea what. For 1 hour he spoke on that. You may hear it on a radio program saying, you know what, you can better yourself, you are your own God. Or it could be a popular book, and because it's popular, you begin to be wooed by it. Or maybe because it came off of a famous person's talk show couch, you begin to go, oh, that sounds nice. I like the way they, I like that sound. That sounds fancy. But it's really amazing to me, if you read scripture, if you are in the New Testament at all, how many times you read the phrase, do not be deceived. Stand on guard. Stand firm. And here's the deal. They're not kidding. They are not kidding. It is not a suggestion. It's not a joking kind of, if you feel like standing firm or not being deceived, just go for that. But as Christ followers, it is very interesting to me how many times you see that in the New Testament. In 1 John, John actually is writing, and he's helping people that are confused. He's helping people understand what is the truth, who Jesus is, all these different philosophies of the world that are kind of creeping into the church that are affecting not only the doctrine of these people, but also the lives that they live because of the change Jesus made in their life. So it was affecting all sorts of areas in their life. In 1 John chapter 4, this is what he writes in verse 1, and you'll see it on the screen. Beloved, do not believe. Now that word believe means to give yourself to trust, especially in a spiritual situation, in a spiritual matter. Do not believe every spirit. Now that spirit doesn't necessarily mean we're talking about Slimer from Ghostbusters. It could mean an angel or a demon, but it also, the idea of is a new breeze or idea or thought or fad. Do not believe every spirit, but test. Literally putting it on trial, going through the same things you would to put things on trial to find out if it's true or if it's false. You are testing every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. And it's interesting because my question is, well, why would I need to do that? I should be able to tell. John finishes the sentence with, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And this is not something that just started in the New Testament when we get to catch up with Jesus and his apostles. This is not something that started then. Jeremiah in the Old Testament, when he actually would hear from the Lord that destruction was coming, and he would tell this to the people, there would be people who would rise up and say the exact opposite of what he said. And this is it, Jeremiah chapter 14. He says, then I said, O sovereign Lord, their prophets are telling them all is well. No war or famine will come. The Lord will surely send you peace. But then the Lord said, these prophets are telling lies in my name. I did not send them or tell them to speak. I did not give them any messages. They prophesy of visions and revelations they have never seen or heard. They speak foolishness made up in their own lying hearts. It's as if the Lord said, I'm bringing this. This is going to come. And these false prophets rose up to give people a false sense of security. And when I look at the new teachings that are out there today, the things of better yourself, enlightenment, all these different things, it's a false sense of security. In Paul's letter to the Corinthian church, and he's reminding these people that are coming into their community, this is what he says in verse 17 of chapter 2. He says, you see, we are not like the many hucksters. I love that word. We are not like the many hucksters who preach for personal purposes. prophets. We preach the word of God with sincerity and with Christ's authority, knowing that God is watching us. There's something different about the way Paul and the ministry that he spoke versus these hucksters who were coming in for personal profit. It's very interesting. I don't remember where we were, but as we were traveling, I asked a kid that was going into the ministry, and he said to me, I was like, so what are you doing? Why are you doing this? Why are you going to school, be a Bible teacher, all these different things? He goes, there's a lot of money in ministry. I was like, what? And he goes, man, you get to become one of them big preachers, and you can get all this money. And I was like, he's serious. He's not joking. I thought maybe he was joking, but he was dead set. And I was sitting here going, good grief. This guy is going to be trained to prey on people. And it broke my heart, but it made it very clear to me that the enemy is very busy working and growing up people that will purposefully lead people astray. In 2 Peter, this is what he says. In chapter 2, verse 1, he says, but there were also false prophets in Israel, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will cleverly teach destructive heresies and even deny the master who bought them. In this way, they will bring sudden destruction on themselves. Many will follow. And that's what scares me. Many will follow their evil teaching and shameful immorality. And because of these teachers, the way of truth will be slandered. In their greed, they will make up clever lies to get hold of your money, but God condemned them long ago, and their destruction will not be delayed. Whenever truth is offered, counterfeits will make themselves readily available too. And as a church, and as someone who says, I am a Christ follower, it is not a joke that we need to not be deceived. We need to stand firm. We need to stand guard. And I don't think we're fighting against these false teachings. The past several weeks, it seems like the Lord said the same thing over and over. You need to fight hard to keep your eyes on me. That is what we are fighting hard to do. Because the world is so aggressively pursuing you guys with empty philosophy. So, it's very interesting because John continues on, and I was reading this going, man, well, okay, there's lots of false prophets, there's many false teachers, there's all these things coming out. How do I know? What is the process? Because I believe there is something that we need to be aware of, and we need to be on guard when we see it. In 1 John chapter 4, John continues, so how we can know the truth? By this, you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that is coming and now is already in the world. Man, when I read that word Antichrist, my head always, whoa, what's that about? You know, that's a very interesting word that people are very drawn to. They're very, what is that about? And the Bible makes it very clear that in the end times, there will be a physical Antichrist, someone who comes and opposes Christ, who stands and opposes Jesus. But John makes it clear that the spirit of the Antichrist, the thought, the idea of the Antichrist is already working in the world today. Anything that opposes Christ is very interesting. That is the spirit of the Antichrist. They are everywhere. It's very difficult because you're like, oh man, they're everywhere. So ultimately, John suggests that there will be those that come claiming they are from God, but we have to be wise to their schemes. It's very interesting. One author, he wrote this, and this is what he says. He says, the time has come to tolerate religious hucksters, he uses the word Paul uses, no longer. These seekers of sanctimony have stained the reputation of Christianity. They have muddied the altars and shattered the stained glass. They manipulate the easily deceived. They are not governed by God, they are governed by greed. They are not led by the Spirit, they are propelled by pride. They are marshmallow phonies who excel in emotion and fail in doctrine. They strip mine faith to get a dollar and rape the pew to get a payment. Our master unveiled their scams, and so must we. It's a very real issue today. And I don't know how many of you would find yourself believing false things. But Paul gives us ways to examine the truth. Examine what is from God, what is not from God. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, he continues, "Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God. For God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins." I love how John cuts through all of the self-help guru stuff that you will never hear, and he makes it very clear that this life is not about being a good person. This life is about the forgiveness of our sin. He cuts right through the behavior modification stuff and says, folks, you cannot forgive sin on your own. We must remember what love is, and love is God pursuing us so much so that he sent his Son to die on the cross so that you and I would not have to die when this life is over. We would not have to face the penalty of sin. And John makes it very clear, because most anything that opposes Christ suggests that it's your behavior that makes you a good spiritual person. And what John makes very clear is that it's not what makes it happen. This life is not about being a good person. It is about finding forgiveness of our sins. It's very interesting, because I'm glad that John just cuts right to the heart of the situation, because as I was thinking about this week and preparing for it, I was really trying to think of, okay, with all these false things going on in the world, I've got to prepare my son. I really do. I have to prepare Zeke to go out into a world that's going to lie to him. And I began to go, okay, what are the things I'm going to have to tell him about the lies that are going on? What are the things? All right, I'm going to have to tell him about this. I'm going to have to tell him about this. I'm going to have to tell him about this. I'm going to have to tell him about, there's this one lie that, oh man, I can't let him hear that. I got to tell him now. You know, and I began to get overwhelmed, and I began to get anxious, and anxiety was welling up. And I was like, oh, there's so many false things. I mean, think of all the things that are trying to lay claim of you. Self-enlightenment, do what you will. You are your own God. There is no heaven or hell. We're all God's children. There are many ways to God. Think positive, get positive, name it, claim it. In all of these things, Christ is made little of. Christ is made little of in all of these things. And I began to be overwhelmed by all of the things that were coming at me. And I'm like, these are things I want my son to know the truth. Don't know. This is a lie. This is a lie. And I wanted to tell him all the lies. But it's like the Holy Spirit just was like, he was letting me get a little frustrated. He just said, just tell him the truth. And what's interesting, and I've heard our senior pastor, Shannon, use this example many times, but he talks about in the counterfeiting, you know, unit of the government, where there are these people that understand and are keeping track of counterfeit bills that are out in circulation. And what they do to train these people is they do not give them every fake $20 bill to study. They give them the real $20 bill to study. And as they study this $20 bill, they recognize the counterfeits in a heartbeat. And as I was like, that's it. So what's the truth? What is the truth? And so when I began to go, wow, if I can just live the truth and speak the truth to my son, that's enough. Because I'm, you know, when I was younger and foolish, and I thought, man, it was my job to know everything about every false religion there was, so that I could have something to talk about, and I just would consume myself with those things. And I understand being wise to the world's ways, but I was consuming myself with lies. And I remember when the Lord just said, you know more about that than you know me. And it was a very big wake-up kind of moment in my life. And I want you to see in 1 John how John does the exact same thing. He reminds the people of who they are. In chapter 2, verse 20, this is what he says. But you are not like that, for the Holy One has given you his Spirit, and all of you know the truth. So I am writing to you not because you don't know the truth, but because you know the difference between truth and lies. And who is a liar? Anyone who says that Jesus is not the Christ. Anyone who denies the Father and the Son is an antichrist. Anyone who denies the Son doesn't have the Father either. I think that rocks a lot of people's worlds. I think that that verse alone would cause a huge stir to tell someone they really do not know God because they don't know Jesus. Because I have heard many, many people say, I know God, but they deny the power of Christ. Scripture is very dangerous. It cuts. Anyone who denies the Son doesn't have the Father either, but anyone who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. So you must remain faithful to what you have been taught from the beginning. If you do, you will remain in the fellowship with the Son and with the Father. And in this fellowship, we enjoy the eternal life he promised us. I am writing these things to warn you about those who want to lead you astray. Folks, there are people who want to lead you astray. The nice person in me wants to think, oh, there's no way. No one would purposefully do that. I'm being deceived. But you have received the Holy Spirit, and he lives within you. So you don't need anyone to teach you what is true, for the Spirit teaches you everything you need to know, and what he teaches is true. It is not a lie, so just as he has taught you, remain in fellowship with Christ. Christ followers, do not underestimate the ability of the Holy Spirit to teach you. Do not underestimate the power of God to teach you. It's very interesting because John is echoing Jesus' words. In John 14, this is what Jesus says. He says, all who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and we will come and make our home and teach with each of them. Anyone who doesn't love me will not obey me. And remember, my words are not my own. What I am telling you is from the Father who sent me. I am telling you these things now while I am still with you. But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. How do we recognize false teaching, false spirits? Begins with us going, Holy Spirit, in me, living in me, you have got to teach me. That is why, till the day I die, I want to be a broken record of, you got to go to the Scriptures. You got to go to the truth. You got to stay in the Word. You got to stay in the truth. You got to stay in the truth. You got to stay in the truth until I die. Because there is nothing else that's going to teach you. I understand the desire to have people teach you, but here's the deal. You can deceive yourselves by being here today, hearing what is said from here, hearing what is sung from here, and going, that's good, and walk out and not put it into practice. And the Bible says that you can be deceiving yourselves in that way as well. And so that time sitting at the foot of the cross with Jesus and having him, rabbi, teacher, teaching you, there is nothing like it. When we come together, we are reminded of the things that he's been teaching us. That's an incredible invitation. And listen to this. In Galatians chapter 3, it says, let me ask you this one question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by obeying the law? Did you get the Holy Spirit by obeying the law? No, he says, of course not. You received the Spirit because you believed the message you heard about Christ. Those of you that have trusted Christ with your life, he lives in you. He teaches you. He reminds you of everything he has said. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. It is God who enables us, along with you, to stand firm for Christ. He has commissioned us, and he has identified us as his own by placing the Holy Spirit in our hearts as the first installment that guarantees everything he has promised. Here's the deal. If someone promises you something, but it comes with Jesus and something else, Jesus and this, Jesus and something else, you better walk away. If they're giving you Jesus and anything else, That "and" is crucial because it is Jesus himself that rescued us, that redeemed us, and that he called us to follow him. But the promise of the Holy Spirit living in us has given us everything we need. 2 Timothy 1:14, through the power of the Holy Spirit who lives within us, carefully guard the precious truth that has been entrusted to you. Recognizing hucksters, false teachers, false prophets, whatever you want to call it, depending on the Holy Spirit. Depending on the Holy Spirit to teach us, to remind us, to help us guard the precious truth that we have been given in Christ Jesus. John then goes on to make sure that we understand that our actions and what we profess really can't be separated. I'm not sure if you guys have seen the commercial. I don't even know what it's for, but I think it's probably one of the funniest things I've ever seen. But this guy's sitting at a dining room table, and he's just reading the newspaper. His wife walks in, and he goes, he just looks up with this shock and awe in his face, like you totally know he's forgotten something. And he looks over at his wife and goes, "Honey, I thought about getting you some flowers today." And he goes back to reading his newspaper. And his wife's like, "Oh, I love you, honey." And then the punchline is, what if it really was the thought that counted? You and I both know the thought that count, it was the thought that counted, is the dumbest phrase I've ever heard. If someone comes up to me and says, "I thought about getting you a gift certificate for your birthday, but I just didn't," I want to punch them. Like, no, you get me that gift card. Don't be silly. The thought that counted? No, it's not the thought that counted. And John makes it very clear that it is not the thought that counts. It's the action that backs up the claim, and they cannot be separated. 1 John chapter 4, this is what he says, verse 8. "But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins." Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. I love that phrase, full expression. When we get busy loving other people, God's love in us is brought to full expression. So if someone stands on a stage and tells you all of these things, but their life doesn't reflect anything that they've said, that's a test. You can know. You can discern. The Holy Spirit in you will teach you and remind you of everything he has said. John chapter 13, this is what I absolutely love. Because God's love to us was expressed in action. It was not just expressed to us in words, it was expressed in action, the giving of his Son, so that we might have eternal life. That is the type of love we are to display. As Christ followers, that is a very good sign that we do know the King. In John chapter 13, this is what he says, "So now I am giving you a new commandment, love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." You can tell, I really do believe, you can tell someone who has come with a false agenda if they build more fences than they do faith. If they tell you that you have to have their brand of faith, if they tell you that they just, the church couldn't handle them, so they started their own thing, and that you got to follow them, you've got to commit to them, or their teaching, or their book, or their CD, and you have got to commit to them, and they are busy building fences, that's a great indicator that they are not about building the kingdom. And I know it sounds kind of harsh to say, well, we're looking at somebody, what they're doing, and we're kind of judging what they're doing, but we have to be on guard. We cannot be deceived. The Bible makes it clear that there will be those who walk away because their ears are tickled and they will hear what they want to hear and they'll go after it. So, Christ followers, a way that you can know is that when the love of Christ compels you to get busy loving others, it's like this aggressive love. It's like you look at someone and I love you. Oh, you. I don't even know you, but I love you. It just comes out. And here's the deal. That kind of love starts being displayed in your life. You don't need anybody's unique brand of faith. Because loving people like that is unique enough on its own. When you begin to display the love of Christ to people that don't deserve it, to people that you know are your enemies, to people that you know that don't like you, and you begin to display love to them, not in a sarcastic way like, hey, I love you, but more of a, I really do love you and I will serve you. Because love is expressed in action. That's unique enough in its own. That's why I totally believe that in 1 Peter, when he says, always be ready to give a defense for the hope that you have in your life, is because people are going to be like, what is wrong with you? How can you love that person? It's because Christ's love compels me. And so when you begin to look at 1 John and you begin to go, man, there are going to be false teachers, and here's how I can know, here's what I can look for, here are the things that I can see, but there are also things to point back at me. And I think that's the hard part. That's a very difficult point to go, oh, well, that person definitely, that person definitely, that person definitely. Whoa. Where am I at in all this? Am I being deceived? Am I being one who likes to nod my head and, yeah, that was a good service, and then walk out and refuse to put into practice the teachings of the Word of God? Those are hard questions. But I believe that John gives us the words that we can know. You and I can know. I wanted to close our time before we go into communion with three charges that I find in Scripture. And I want you to be able to read them on the screen, but they're charges to you all and to myself and to the church. But I feel like they just are spoken so perfectly, and they're what we need to hear as Christ followers. And the first charge I want to charge you with is in Romans chapter 16. It says, and now I make one more appeal. My dear brothers and sisters, watch out for people who cause divisions and upset people's faith by teaching things contrary to what you have been taught. Stay away from them. Such people are not serving Christ our Lord. They are serving their own personal interests. By smooth talk and glowing words, they deceive innocent people. Colossians chapter 2. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of the world rather than from Christ. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in human body. So you also are complete through your union with Christ, who was the head over every ruler and authority. When somebody tells you you need Jesus and something else, you need to run to Scripture. You are complete through your union with Christ. It's not Jesus and, it's just Jesus. And when we get to gather together as a the buzzword out right now, a very popular word is community. We get to express the love of Christ to each other. We get to express the love of Christ to our coworkers, to those that don't know Jesus. And the last charge is from Jude, and I think it really fits with that, being out in the streets of Asheville, being next to people that don't know the Savior. In Jude, verse 17, this is what it says. But you, my dear friends, must remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ said. They told you that in the last times there would be scoffers whose purpose in life is to satisfy their ungodly desires. These people are the ones who are creating divisions among you. They follow their natural instincts because they do not have God's Spirit in them. But you, dear friends, must build each other up in your most holy faith. Pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. Await the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will bring you eternal life. In this way, you will keep yourself safe in God's love. And you must show mercy to those whose faith is wavering. Rescue others by snatching them from the flames of judgment. Show mercy to still others, but do so with great caution, hating the sins that contaminate their lives. Folks, we live in a world where there are false things coming at you left and right. And unless we're at a place where we are keeping our eyes on Jesus, enjoying community together, enjoying that fellowship, expressing the love of Christ to one another here and out in the streets of Asheville, you can know, is it from God or is it not? John makes it very clear that you can know. Make much of Christ. Make much of Christ. If they make little of Christ, if they belittle the cross, if they push it down, if they push it aside, if they push it away, be on guard. Do not be deceived.